in House Resources Committee to order.
Good for discussion.
In attendance, we have Representatives Ladue, Elkins, Samuels, Ramos, and Gatto. Before us today, we have House Bill 501. And if we could get a motion to adopt the Y version for the CS tab before us, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt 24-LS1839/Y.
Okay, thank you very much. And I can have Tim Benintendi walk us through that. Tim?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Tim Benintendi, staff to Representative Ramos. Representative Samuel. I got two choices.
One choice.
And I'd be happy to take you through 501 here. In short, it's kind of the next evolution of what was previously House Bill 464, and both of which we've heard in committee. This has been heard once before. There's a CS before you that you may want to adopt. It's version Y. And I will not only give you some highlights of the issue, but take you through the change.
Okay, we've adopted it already.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Just did that. Yep.
The bill basically creates a civil penalty of forfeiture of horns or antlers if a hunter cannot prove that all possible meat has been salvaged from his or her kill in the field. The penalty is in addition to or it supplements the current wanton waste laws where requirements of full salvage of the meat currently exist in statute. The thrust of 501 is that enforcement personnel will have greater ability to intervene in situations where it may not be a clear violation of wanton waste game laws. So it's just an additional enforcement tool. House Bill 501 clearly raises the deterrent factor in circumstances where hunters wish to possess horns or antlers but might not be aggressive enough in salvaging game meat. And version Y is the draft CS. The version before you previously was version F. And the most salient change in version Y is lines 7 and 8. We've added subsection D. And it was just to emphasize that we don't want to reduce the existing laws where salvage requirements are concerned. And this was raised basically as an issue by the Alaska Outdoor Council. They did not want to impact current laws which call for full salvage of meat. Pardon me. And there are circumstances in the field where it's not possible to salvage 100% of a certain animal's meat, and that's all scheduled out in regulation. There are two minor changes on page 1, line 11. I'm sorry, it's going to be on line 12 on the Y version. We simply replace the phrase Board of Game in regulation with law, and that was a request of the Department of Fish and Game. And then on line 14 on version Y, we changed the previous phraseology of minimum amount of meat to just simply salvage requirement. That's a term that's more commonly known in the industry and among the hunting population. So those are the changes, and I guess I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have or pull somebody up who can.
Thanks, Tim. And as Tim pointed out, lines 7 and 8 were the concerns of the last hearing that we had on this bill. Nobody wants to go down, so we just put that in black and white that you cannot go down with this bill. So other than that, the hearings were held early on 464 and voted out, but we moved forward with 501. So I don't know if you have any questions for Tim. Carl, our representative Gatto, sorry.
That works. Yeah, Tim, on line 5, it uses the word in the middle of the line there, the minimum amount. On line 8, it uses the term all edible meat. Are we saying these terms are interchangeable, that all edible meat means the minimum amount? Because I kind of wonder why the terms weren't duplicated, but rather we have separate terms here.
I'll need to get some clarification from someone, possibly.
Yeah,
come on up.
And one of the reasons I ask is because all edible meat means 100%. And that means to scrape every digit to get all edible meat. And so I think we might want to look at that term as a term, something that's unobtainable, and revert back to the minimum amount.
Senator Croft.
Mr. Chairman, patient co-chairman, there's two different terms because there's two different concepts. And there is the general wanton waste concept that you must take all edible meat, and that's just copied out of 1630.010. You have a general obligation in this state to, and it's all edible meat, so when you're talking about scraping every little thing off, you don't have that obligation. The point of this bill is to empower the Board of Game to adopt regulation in certain areas as they see fit, to set certain minimum amounts, and the penalty for that is forfeiture of horns. So you would have two mechanisms that complement each other: the general criminal requirement of everything, and with full criminal penalties, fines, sometimes even imprisonment, seizing of a means of transportation. And the parallel added by 501 is a smaller crime with a smaller penalty. Not taking a minimum amount established by regulation simply forfeits you the horns. And the D is to make sure that one does not undermine the other. I think I've tried to, and I hope that answers your question.
Mr. Chair, only yes. In part, and perhaps we could have other discussion, because even though it's in statute, the term all edible meat is really, doesn't mean you can leave behind a molecule and you say, well, we're not going to use those scrapings, so they're not edible. And I'm looking for flaws. I mean, I'm supporting the bill. I want to make sure that we don't put a bill out there and then say.
Mr. Robus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Matt Robus, Division of Wildlife Conservation Director for Fish and Game. The term salvage all edible meat is presently defined in regulation in certain ways for different big game animals. And in fact, in different hunts across the state, there are some differences. But it doesn't mean scraping every digit. What it means is, for instance, I'll paraphrase the definition for a moose across most of the state, and that would be the meat of the four quarters above the hock, and the meat of the neck, and of the ribs and along the backbone. And so for each of these different categories, there is a definition for all edible meat. It doesn't mean what you might think from just a free reading of those, of that phrase by itself. And it is an achievable standard. It's one that works well in the field. And that, you know, that's a system of statutes and regulations that is already in effect and works well, but it has a very high standard for proving the crime. And what this change would do is add another system, as Representative Croft mentioned, a lesser crime with a lesser penalty, but one that hunters would pay attention to, in that you would not be able to retain the antlers or horns of your animal if you didn't achieve it. It gives the Board of Game a tool to use in places where ethical hunter behavior is
problematic.
Is a challenge, and there are parts in the state where that's definitely a problem.
Okay.
Just to follow up, because I think just curious or so, if you come upon a carcass, quarters are gone, the neck is taken care of, but the ribs still have meat on them. Is that a violation?
It may, through the chair, it may well be a violation, and the first thing to do is notify state enforcement, and they'll investigate. And between them and the hunt manager, we often can at least get started on an investigation on the person involved.
And the reason I ask is, if you are days away from where you're going, and maybe a week away, depending on weather, even if you were to take carve the meat off the ribs, I'm not sure that meat would be considered edible by the time you arrived. I mean, it's got a lot of surface without much mass, and that is the worst possible scenario.
through the chair, Representative Gatto, there have been extended discussions between the department and the Board of Game and between the hunter community and the Board of Game on exactly how best to deal with this. And in that very scenario, where if you take all the rib meat off and stick it in a bag and then spend a week in a canoe or a raft, it's liable not to be, you have recovered all the edible meat perhaps, but you have not brought it home in a sufficient condition because of lack of care. That's why in some parts of the state we require that the rib meat remain attached to the ribs, because then you get high surface area so that you dry the meat, glaze it, and that meat will actually stay in good condition if it's kept clean for a long period of time. It's when you start taking little bits and pieces and squashing them together and not letting air circulate around the surfaces that you get the spoilage.
And you talked about rafts and canoes, but there's also backpacks. Then, to bone out 5 miles, the long walk through pucker brush, and then hope that an airplane is there sooner or later, it's a tough standard to meet. I'm not asking you to change the rules, just curious to know how we respond to that.
The point of the legislation, though, is if you're not willing to take the rib meat, don't take the horns, because it's still 5 miles of hiking through the brush with the horns, too. That's the point of the bill, is saying you got to take all the meat before you take the horns. And now the Board of Game can implement regulations which would penalize you for doing so. I mean, still, the laws haven't changed as far as the amount of meat you have to take. You still have to take the same amount. We haven't changed that. Sorry, didn't mean to step on your toes.
Mr. Chair, you basically answered the question the same way I was headed. It's your responsibility once you take the animal, so if you're too far away from where you're getting back to, you ought not to be pulling the trigger in the first place, and that's part of the whole enforcement process.
And if you have to choose taking more meat, leave the horns for the last trip out.
That's a requirement of the law, okay. Yes.
Okay, are there any other questions for Mr. Robus? Is there anybody? Yes, Representative Goddard.
That's a requirement of the law. You can't pack out the horns first?
Through the chair, that's correct. You need to bring the trophy out on the last trip if there's multiple trips.
Thank you.
Is there anybody online that wishes to testify? Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify on 501? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move that we move CS for House Bill 501 /Y after, as soon as you recognize all the members of the committee.
We've been joined by Representatives Crawford, Capstner, and Seaton. Is there any objection to moving 501 from committee? Hearing none, we are adjourned after we signed the document. The next meeting will be tomorrow. We have a big game commercial services board game hearing. So tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Did we move the fiscal note with that?
There is no fiscal note with individual recommendations.
With a TAS 0 fiscal note. I'm sure that's what was meant by all parties concerned. Thank you.